So holding the Gemara, Amar Abaya, that's seven lines down. Nichsay l'cha b'charecha l'ploni. So there's a whole thing about Basa where a person can tell somebody, I'm giving you, the Gemara is going to quote the price of Basa. So the person has the rights to it as long as he's alive. And when the person dies, the property, instead of going over to the children's Yerushim, the matana was a time-limited matana. So as long as the person is alive, the moment the person dies, the matana was to be given to somebody else. So the owner of the matana, Reuven, gave it to let's say to Shimon, and then he told him, it's yours, Shimon, and afterwards it's going to go to Beryl. So what does it mean it's yours? As long as you're alive, you have it. When you die, the matana is given over to Beryl. Same way, theoretically, a person could come along and say, I own, you know, the halacha looks like when I own something, I own it not only for now, I own it for the future as well. So I own all of the, from now till the end of days, it belongs to me and to my yorshim. So I'm taking that ownership that I have, and I'm giving the next 30 days to Shimon, and the 30 after that, I'm giving it to Beryl, etc. So I could do that. Now, but let's say he says it, Nichsailich Acharayach Lefani. He gives it to a woman, that it should go to her, and afterwards it goes to somebody else. And she was not married. Vamda Benisays. Now this woman goes and gets married. So the husband gets rights to the woman's property. So what's the law of that situation? So Baal Lekech Havi. So we look at it is that the husband has a status of a purchaser. Vein lacharecha b'mokum baal klum. So that we're going to quote a brayso in a second, which says that this halacha nochase lachov acharecha l'ploini. And while the person has it, he sells it. While the first recipient has it, he sells it. So the lekeach gets to keep it. Lacharecha is only as long as you have it. So then somebody has to get it after you. But once it's given away, he never met lacharecha should limit that. Mor says, "Kaman kiatana." The Tanya, this is like the following Tanya: the chasse l'cha v'acharecha l'plani. So Yorah Harishon, the first person takes possession of it, and the umachar, and now the first person sells it. So Hasheni moitzi miyad l'kuchas divrei Rebbe. So the second, the person who's supposed to get it seconds, well, can win. So the Noisen gave it to Reuven, and Acharecha to Beryl. Meanwhile, Reuven sells it. So at this point in time, as long as Reuven is alive, so Beryl has no claim. Reuven dies, Beryl goes to the Lekuchas and takes it away from the Lekuchas, because the ownership that Reuven had was only until he dies. So it comes Beryl and says to the Lekuchas, you bought till that time. That time is up. I'm taking it away. Shimon Gamil, Omer Ein L'Sheni Alamasha Shire Rishon. So the Lashon Acharecha L'Ploni means whatever you have left over. That's how you understand Acharecha. So if you have nothing left over because you consumed it, you used up the item, so there's nothing left over. If you sold it, that's also a form of consumption. So so the Sheni only gets whatever the first one left over, which in this case is nothing. So where it says, does Abaya say that we pass on like Rishim and Gamliel? V'homer Abaya, Ezel Rosha Orim, what's an example of a crafty evil person? Okay, so that is somebody who suggests that you should follow the approach of Rav Shimon Gamliel and the plan would have been that the second person would have got something. There's no sweat off the recipient's back because, like, he has as long as he's alive, and he was crafty enough to prevent the other person from getting it. So either way, his yarshim are not going to get it. So it's like he's doing it to his benefit. All he's accomplishing is that he's getting it away from the person who's really supposed to get it afterwards. So we look at that as that's an evil type of approach. So Moore says, but your means you're passing, you're massively passing a shingam leil. You're just saying you shouldn't do it. So over here, Moore says, "Me kamer tinase nisays kamer." We're not saying that we should give her the eight. So you know, go get married. This way you'll be able to hold on to the properties. We're saying if you got married, this is what happens. Okay, fine. Vomer Abaya, nechosa lich vacharayach l'poini. So he tells her that again the same. The same arrangement, but the Gemara is going to come out that this case is a case of woman. This took place after she was already married. Okay. Umachra, and then she sells the property. Umesa, and then she dies. So at this point in time, there are three players. There's the Baal, which is coming as the Yarish. He's Yarish's wife. There are the Lekuchais, which have bought the rights to the property. And there is the Ploini that it's supposed to go to. Okay. So Baal Amotim Yad Lekuchais. So the Baal, we saw before, that besides having a status of a Yarish, Chazal gave the Baal a status also like we, as a purchaser. So it would just be a Yarish. He's a Lekeach. Right? So if he would just be a Yarish and she sells the property, so now when he comes to Yarish, the property is already sold, like any Yarish. Any property that the Marish sold while he was alive, there's nothing to be Marish. There's no Yerusha to get. But so Chazal said that even though the Lach of the Baal is Yerish, he gets a status of a Lekeach, and all of his wife's Nixay Malug, all the property that she brings to the marriage is Nixay Malug, and therefore he gets really a status when she gets married. He has the rights to all of the payrus right now. She still owns the goof, but he has a contingency status of a purchaser immediately at that moment, that if it's ever sold to anybody else, he's considered the first Lekeach. So he's a Lekeach. We pass the Grishin Gamli, the Lekeach overrides the Ploini. Okay? So, Habal Moitzim Yad Lekuchas. The Baal, instead of Lekeach Rishon, vis-a-vis the purchasers, vis-a-vis the Lekeach. So if she's going to sell the property, Chazal gave him a status of the first Lekeach. Well, he was the first Lekeach, there's no Din of Acharecha. No, they only gave him a status of a Lekeach vis-a-vis other Loichim. But vis-a-vis the Ploini, like we saw in the previous Gemara, Abide. The buyer said if she sold it, we said before that the Baal has the Baal Lekeach vis-a-vis the Ploini also. So the Baal is meant to be out of Lekuchos. V'acharecho miyad ha-Baal. V'lekeach miyad acharecho. So the Mora says, so now the Mora is going to say, how is this different than the case before, right? The case over here, that was the case before, where she was a penuya, and the Baal married. So the moment of the marriage, he got a status of a lekeach on the property that she brought in already. Right? But over here, she was already married when the person gave it to her. And the person gave it to her with this condition So he's saying that it shouldn't go to the Baal. Okay, so if that's true, so vis-a-vis the Ploini, the Baal is not a locate, doesn't win. The Baal wins vis-a-vis the Loichim. Vis-a-vis the Ploini, the Baal loses. But vis-a-vis the Ploini, the Lekuchis win. So you have one of those cases again. So Baal Moetzi Miyad Lekuchis. V'acharecha Miyad Baal. V'lekech Miyad Acharecha.
Has he come before the Lekuchis?
Because vis-a-vis Lekuchis, Chazal gave the husband a status of not only a Yerush, but of a Lekeach.
But not vis-a-vis the...
That's the more I was going to say, that not vis-a-vis... the case where it was given to her and she was a Penuya and then she got married, so the Noisein wasn't cheshbening the Baal, she wasn't married yet. I mean, so he says, Acharecha L'Ploini, he wasn't overriding the power of the Baal. But the case where he gave it to her with this arrangement when she was married already, and he says it should go to Ploini, he's saying that I'm not giving you to your Baal should get reshus in it. Over the Ploini. Okay. So what happens now? So we have this. Eventually it gets. So the final. Theoretically, we should have this. So the Baal takes from Lekuchos. The Ploini takes from the Baal. Lekuchos takes from the Ploini. So now it's by the Lekuchos. The Baal should go to Lekuchos and take it. No, it stays by the Lekeach. So the Morah says, "Ma'ishnom behadatnan, because there is chalila shi'asu pshar b'neim." So we had in the Mishnah, right, that this in our Mishnah that we have a similar type of scenario, and the Mishnah says it keeps going around. So he's married to two women, and the Rishon told the Lekeach that I have no din of dvarim with you. So the Shnia goes to takes on the Lekeach, but so now the Shnia has it. The Rishon says I was first, so now the Rishon has it. The Lekeach says, but you gave it away to me, so now the Lekeach has it. So the Shnia says to the Lekeach, but I have rights before you. So it keeps going around until they make him sure. And here we're saying that we just leave it. We go A, B takes it from A, C takes it from B, and then A takes it from C, and then it stays there. So what's the difference? Somewhere it says, Hosam, East Loop and Seda Lakulu. Everybody is considered that they have a
lost out.
The woman got a sheba, which is being taken away from her. The second woman, the lekeach is paying money and getting a loss that way. And the first woman has her sheba, etc. Over here, so Ploini was supposed to get a matana. Okay, so he didn't get the matana. Right, the Baal. This is matana coming into the Baal. The lekeach is the only one who laid out money over here. So, halacha lekeach who disleip seida. Also, Rafram Omer l'Shemayte Kamei de Ravashi. So Rafram said over this second statement of Abaya by in front of Ravashi. So, and then he said, "Mi Omer Abaya Hachi." Did Abaya really say that? But what about the first Abaya? Omer Abaya l'chosay lich v'acharayach l'ploni. Other when he says, "Bal kecha b'vein l'acharayach mokem bal klum." Okay, so Amalei Hosam. So what's the difference? Amalei Hosam Dar Malakashi Penuya. The case of Abaya, where the Baal wins, is she was a Penuya. But Hacha Dar Malakashi Nesua. He said to her, which he's already married, and he says, "So my karma." What does he mean to say? My comrade Lord, he means to say to her, Acharayach Likni Baalor Likni. So the Noisin is specifically by saying that it goes to you and then to Acharecha, so he's saying that not and not the Baal. Because the Baal is already on the scene and he's specifically saying it doesn't go to the Baal. So then the Baal was precluded from the sus to get it after she dies. Okay. So we're holding in the narrow lines in Rashi. Three lines down, seven lines on the top, three lines down in the narrow lines. The Chos Elich, so Rashi says, Omer Lepnuya, the Chos Elich, Rakharach Lepnuya. The Marshal has the Girsa. The Kamon Mukilo Bishmaitin that is Omer the Pnuya the Chosalif Acharach Lepani. The Morris says someone can't say she was a Pnuya. The Morris says, who is this like? Ketana Shimon the Omer Mechirosa Mechira, that the sale the sale works. So she got it and it's supposed to go to Pnuya afterwards. Meanwhile, she sold it because the marriage is a form of a sale, and we see that the sale works. Not like Rebbe, the whole of the sale doesn't override the Pnuya. According to Rishim Gamil, the sale overrides the plony. Or by in the Chos Elich, Lekamon Muki Laha Shmaita Basraisa, the second Shmaita, Barmer Lenesua. The Barshal has the word the Abaya. The Hoshmaita Basraisa, the Abaya, Barmer Lenesua. So what happens? Abal Moitri and the Kuchas. If the Lekuches would try and override the Baal, so he Yacholiskus Bedin Shulakeach Rishon, he's considered the first Lekeach. But Acharecha Yachol Hotzi Miyad Baal. But Acharecha, so Lekuches. Now the Lekuches don't have different than every scenario of Lekuches. Lekuches don't really own the property yet. Because they bought at this point in time, the Baal is called, as long as she's alive, it's the same Malug, the Baal is Echo Paris. So the Baal is dealing with the field, the Baal is taking care of the field, working the field, getting the produce from the field. So the Kulas just have a theoretical ownership. They have ownership of the goof right now, which means practically nothing. They can't do anything with it. And when the woman dies, they're going to take over possession of the field. So if the Baal would have to go to the court to get it from them, which they didn't get it yet, so they don't have to go to court. But if he would, he would win, because he's the first Lekeah. But Acharecha Yochel Lohitzim Yad Baal, but Acharecha overrides the Baal. The Chiyomer by Ein Lacharecha B'mokim Baal Klum. When does, like Gemara is going to say, when does Abaya say that the Baal wins? So she got as a penuya. Then she got married. So in that situation, when the noisin gave it to her, he wasn't precluding the Baal because there was no Baal yet. So it's hers, and now she sold it through marriage as a form of sale. But he says it's a nesua. What do you mean acharecha? What happened to the Baal? So hachikomer lo, he means acharayach likni, Baal lo likni. He's simply precluding that he's not giving it to the Baal. So the acharecha will take away the pliny, will take away from the Baal. But the acharecha, from Shimon Darmer Mechira Sarishon Mechira. But once the acharecha has it, so the says, but you only have a right to get it if it wasn't sold. It was sold to us. The Rashi ain't bezin is cocking with Pama Zois. So if this is how it plays out, so now somebody comes, the Baal comes and says, I want to take away from the Lekeach. Bezin will not do that. If it gets to this stage in the process, the sitting by the Lekeach, so Shena Pama Zois, Daimel the Rishina. So Bezin will leave it by the Lekeach. It's not the same as the case of the previous case. Because So over there, where the woman is getting, the lekeach is getting it from the fact that the woman sold it to them. So if they're coming mekeach, the isha, the baal says, "I mean, isha, I'm first." But over here, no, I'm sorry. The first scenario where the din was the baal versus the lekeach, the baal is right to say, "I'm ahead of the lekeach." So what's the argument? They're coming mitzad the isha, and the lekeach is saying, "I bought it from the isha." The baal says, "I'm the first person who bought from the isha," so he takes away from the lekeach. But now it went from him to the ploini, and now it's going from the ploini to the lekeach. The lekeach says, "I'm not being mitzvah for you from mitzad the isha anymore. We're now donning who has the rights vis-a-vis the ploini, and you were precluded from any rights vis-a-vis the ploini." The chaos is vis-a-vis the ploini. The only person who has rights is us, is me. So I'm going. You can't take it from me. The first time he's coming because of the sale to the isha, the sale of the isha. Miyada isha yochel ba'alitani lekach the isha. Now see in miyada charecha. Now that the lekach is getting it not from the isha, but from the charecha. So, and vis-a-vis the Acharecha, the Baal is going to lose. Same Bez and Iskakim, the Baal can only look at time and look at me. So now the Baal has no claim against the Lekeach. Fine. So I can't go back on that. Okay. So the Gemara. So the Mishnah said, so a person was married to two women, sells, and so each one has a claim of the ksuba on his property, and he sells the field, which is designated for the ksubas, or that's so. And then the Rishona. Tells the lekeach, I have no claim. In a valid way that she loses her claim against the lekeach. So the sheni has right to vis-a-vis the lekeach. The sheni takes it away from the lekeach. The Rishona says, vis-a-vis you, I never give anyone any rights, so I take it away from you. Lekeach says to the isha, You were Michael. You're right vis-a-vis me. So she goes. So we have this keeps going around until they make up shorter. And the Mishnah said, "V'chein balchayv, v'chein isha balaschayv." So zot the Gemara, "V'chein balchayv." So what's the case of "V'chein balchayv"? "V'chein balchayv u'shtel kuchais." So the scenario would be that Reuven, let's say, lent Shimon a mona. And Shimon had two fields. And now Shimon went and sold the two fields. Shimon sold one field to Levi, one field to Yehuda. And then he said, sold the second field afterwards to Yehuda. Okay. Now the Baal Chayv so tells Yehuda, "Din Devarim Ainli, I'm making no claim against Yehuda."
Who is Yehuda?
Reuven lends money to Shimon. Shimon owes Reuven money. Shimon has two fields which he sells to Levi, and he sells to Yehuda. Shimon is a loiver. Shimon sells two fields. And now he becomes the moicher, he sells two fields. Okay? Now, then Reuven, the Baal Chayv, who has the right to collect from the fields of Shimon, which have been sold to Levi and Yehuda, tells the second Lekeach, "I have no claim against you." Now, So the both fields were sold b'achrayus. So if anything happens, they have a right to go back to Levi. They have a right to go back to Levi, and you have a right to go back to Shimon. The value of both fields equal the amount of the chayv. So Reuven's power to collect applies both to Levi and to Yehuda. Okay, so Reuven's not going to Yehuda, so he doesn't go to Yehuda, but he can go to Levi because part of the chayv is still owed. The value of the chayv was 100. Let's say, she's using an example, the value of the chayv was 100, and each field was worth 50. So Reuven has the right to go to get the field from Levi. So Reuven goes and takes the field from Levi. Okay, Levi turns around and says that when I bought the field, I got a shibud on Shimon that if something happens to the field, I have a right to collect from him. Well, he has no place to collect from except for the field which is by Yehuda. So Levi goes and collects the field from Yehuda. Reuven comes along and says, oh, now Levi has another field, which I had a right to. I never forwent rights vis-a-vis Levi, only gave way rights vis-a-vis Yehuda. So Reuven takes the field away from Levi. Yehuda, meanwhile, has lost his field. He has a claim on Shimon. Right? Shimon, and he has a shibud on the field, which is now the field which Yehuda had, which is now went to Levi, which went to Reuven. Yehuda comes to Reuven and says, you forfeit your rights on this field. I have a right to be going with this field from you. So he's going with the field from Reuven. Levi says, now I have a right to that field.
Who takes the... Shimon gets a field from Reuven?
Yeah, Shimon is the borrower.
Yeah.
You know, right? So Shimon has a shibud to Reuven because he borrowed money from Reuven. He has a potential shibud to Levi and Yehuda. If something happens to the fields, they get collected, they have a right to go back to Shimon and get their money back. If they don't get their money back, they have a right to collect from his property. So Levi has a shibud on Shimon's field, that if something happens to that the field, which was eventually sold to Yehuda, Levi has a shibud on it. If something happens to it, he has the right to get that field from Yehuda. Yehuda also has a claim on the property on that field that Levi has, which goes from Levi to Reuven. Reuven forwent his rights on the field, so vis-a-vis Yehuda and Reuven. Reuven has no rights vis-a-vis that field. It's as if that field belongs to Shimon, and Yehuda has a right to be going over that field from Shimon. If something happens to his field. But meanwhile, that field, but vis-a-vis Levi, Levi says, yeah, but I have first rights to the field. Because I bought the my field of achrayus, so now this field that you have is my achrayus. So I have a right to it before you, Yehuda. Once Levi gets it, Reuven takes it away. Once Reuven gets it, Yehuda takes it away from Reuven. Once Yehuda gets it, Levi takes it away from Yehuda. So we have the same circle. Okay. V'chein isha ba'al eschoy v'shnei lekuches. The same scenario would be if it wasn't a loan, but it was a ksuva, and the value of the ksuva was equal to both fields, and then the Baal sold both fields, one to Levi, one to Yehuda, and the woman wrote to Yehuda, Dinah Devarim Ein Li. So we'd have the same cycle going around and around. The next paragraph is much more benign. Benign. Okay. Zakrashi. Bechain Balchoiv Shnei Lekuchas. Reuven goes to Shimon Mono. Reuven has a claim against Shimon for 100. Beloishte Sadis. And Shimon has two fields. Shimon then sold the two fields, in our example, to Levi and to Yehuda. Zubachamishim, and the value of the fields, each field was worth 50. The Balchoy wrote to the Lekach Sheni, did the worm ainly imoch. So I don't have any claim against you to, on the property. So Balchoy went to Meyad Rishon. The Balchoy goes to the Rishon to collect. Now the Khan's across the ain learmer hinati mokum shatigra haimenu, Shri Khaba Kanegashtayim. Normally when we have multiple lakuchas one after the other, the first lakach says to the balkoi, when I bought, I was careful to leave you what to collect from. Yeah, but you weren't, because the value of the lakach was against both fields. So I have a right to the field that you bought, a field that I have a shibud on, and you did not leave me where to collect from. So balkoi takes away from lakach rishon. Now, lakach rishon moitzi miyad hasheni. So lakach rishon says, okay, but I bought the field by Achrayus. So now I have a shibud on Shimon's property, and that property that I have a shibud on is now sitting by Yehuda. So Levi, the Lekach Rishon, goes and takes the field from the Lekach Sheni. Okay, the Lekach Rishon went to me out of Sheni. Now the Balchoy says, ah, so now you have the other 50 that are owed in that field. The Balchoy chayter moitzi avzumin Rishon. So now the Levi collects it from Yehuda. Reuben comes and takes it away from Levi. Lekach Sheni mi Balchoy. Lekach Sheni says, Balchoy, that field that I bought, you forwent all your rights on that field vis-a-vis me. So give me back my field. So Yehuda takes the field. Once Yehuda takes the field, Levi takes it from Yehuda. So we keep going around till we make a pshara. She had a chiv, the shibud of the ksuba on the husband. He sold his two fields that he had to two individuals, Levi and Yehuda. And the value of the two together equals the value of the ksuba. Because the worm mainly in mark, and she the woman wrote up a language which is, she's forgoing her rights vis-a-vis the second lekach. Sisha mitzia miyad lekach rishon, v'hu min hasheni, v'isha min harishon, v'sheni min harisha, lekach rishon miyad hasheni, v'chayz mechalila, until they make him short. Hadalach misha hayin nasoi.
So, but in this case, with the Levi can take from Yehuda, what can he take? In other words, what class of properties does he have rights to take from Yehuda?
Can you? I'm not sure the word you're a class of.
Well, is it only the properties that Shimon had sold him? Or?
Yeah, right, correct. He has a Shimon. When he bought the field, his field, Bachrayus, if he got a Shimon on Shimon's property, that if something happens to the field that he bought from Shimon, he has the right to go back to Shimon and get reimbursed. Yeah. Shimon then sold that property, which would be the source for the reimbursement, to Yehuda. So Yehuda bought it with a shibud to Shimon, to Levi. Keep track of the names. So the Mishnah. Amon and Izan is Minitza Yisraimim. In a scenario where the part of the Dinei Ksuba is that the woman who's Amona has a right to be supported from the estate of the husband. Now, the Yerusha goes over to the children. It belongs to the children. And she has a right to get support from their property. So she's Nizan as Minitzi Yisraimim. She's receiving her support from the Yisraimim. So Lach is Maisi Yedea Shalahem. So the work that she does belongs to the Yisraimim. The Mora is going to say that's an Eva issue. That vis-a-vis the husband in the marriage has a right to the Maisi Yadayim of his wife. But over here, they don't have an intrinsic right, but theoretically, she's getting her support from them, and then meanwhile she's all of the money that she's making and she's pocketing is going to create and engender animosity between the almana and the yisarmim. So chamor masakin that, and that's not going to be good. So the chamor masakin that the maisidayim of the almana go to the yisarmim. But ein chayavim b'chum kurasa. But the chiyav yerusha is not totally in who gets the maisidayim. Rather, yorshik suvasa chayavim b'kurasa. But her yarshim, who will get her properties, those who want to chayv in the kura, the property that she has over here specifically will be that they take over the right to collect the ksuva. So they get her ksuva, and concurrent with that, they're going to be responsible to take care of her burial. Amon is that Rashi ain't chayav mikvurasa. Imesa, if the woman, the mana dies, I don't the yisayim of the husband are not chayiv in the kavura. So shere yarsha goyben ksuvasa meyarsha habal. So her yarshim are the ones going to collect the ksuva from the yarsha habal. Valei in the kavura. And therefore they have responsibility to be covered her. Now, if these children were her own children, so they'd be her yarshim, so they would theoretically be the ones who would collect her ksuva from themselves, so they would have to be a chiyav kura. But if these children were not her, they were children of her husband, but not her children, so these, the yarshi habal are not her yarshim, so her yarshim will collect the ksuva from the yarshi habal, and then they have a chiyav kura.
Well, if there's no money from the
Yerusha
Habal to pay
the ksuba. The husband left no property. The husband left no property, so I still think the Yerusha Huisha have the Chiyav Kavura. Because they're the ones who have the right to the Yerusha, therefore they take over the Chiyav Kavura. So, if not, she ends up being a Meis Mitzvah. Shebalo Tachas, theoretically, Shebalo Tachas Ksuvasa Chai Bikurasa Akshav Shenu Yersha He Tikuratzma. So the Chiyav Kavura was on the husband only because he's the one who gets the Ksuva. Well, now that he's not around, we say, listen, bury yourself. So who would be the one who takes over the responsibility? Her Yerusha take over the responsibility. So Tosfos asked the Kasha, so, you know, Tosfos flips it around. So, obviously, the whole Chiyav, even by the Baal, we know that the whole din of Kavura on the Baal is because of the Ksuva. So whoever gets the ksuba is going to have the chiyav kavura.
Well, if they weren't her kids, she had other.
Right.
So they would seem to be obligated to bury her.
Chazal tied the chiyav kavura to the ksuba. So whoever's going to be the yarshim of the ksuba will be the ones who have to bury her. Right? If she has kids, it'll be her kids. If she doesn't have any kids, it'll be her father. It'll be her brothers, right? So Tosha says that. So once we know the kura goes together with the ksuba, so whoever gets the ksuba is going to get chayv and kura. So what's the chiddush of the mishnah? Tosha says the chiddush of the mishnah is good for that din that kura is totally in in ksuba. That's exactly, this is the source of that din, that kvura is totally in the ksuva. Okay. Let's hold it here.